Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Greetings of peace and a beautiful morning to you. It's a lovely Saturday morning here at WFM radio station. Welcome to the maiden episode of Everyday Muslim on WFM 97.1. The Everyday Muslim is a collaboration between WFM, Women FM, and Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC. The Everyday Muslim program is to promote the understanding of the values, the diversity, and richness of the Islamic faith, and promote the peaceful coexistence by creating opportunities for mutual understanding towards a peace building and just society. On the Everyday Muslim program for today, I will be your host on the WFM MPAC collaboration Everyday Muslim program. I am Sakina Titilaya Okoni. With me in the studio is my co-host here.
I am Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyo.
On the Everyday Muslim program on WFM 97.5 radio station. I would like to appreciate the project team behind the WFM and MPAC radio collaboration, Everyday Muslim, who work behind the scene to make this project come to being. I would like to thank the Executive Chairman of MPAC, Mr. Disu Kamar, for all the support. We also have Mr. Abdul Rashid Saliu, who is the chairman of the radio project. We have Alhaja Rahmat Hegbeyemi, she's the director of corporate partnership. We have Mrs. Fatima Sani, who is the office manager at MPAC. We also have Mr. Umar Aderi Bigbe, who is a member on the radio project. And my co-host,
I'm Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyo.
Thank you for being part of the project team. Then on the side of the WFM team, we'd like to appreciate the following: Tom Okewale Sonaya, Esther Alaribi, Taiwo Adeleye, Rose Yusuf Kaiser, who is with us in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are still on the Everyday Muslim radio on radio project on WFM 97.1 FM. The next segment is quote of the day. We'd like to take this quote. Our quote for the day is from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Do you have anything to chip in?
Yes,
to that?
Of course. You're not yet a believer until you love for yourself what you love for your neighbor. This is a community thing. It tells us more about empathy. Jesus, that our neighbor are also with us, and we should always take care of our neighbor. It removes enviness from us. If you look at the quote very well, you realize that it encompasses everything about society and the community in general. If you are able to follow what the hadith or what the prophet has said, I'm sure the society is going to be a better place for everyone. Because you're going to look after your neighbor, 40 houses from the front, from your right, from your left, and from the back. And it's going to help us in unity. It will build a lot of unity amongst us.
Yes. And this quote is actually the foundation of the Islamic faith and shows humanity and the humanity side of Islam. A person cannot be considered as having complete faith unless what he loves for others, what he loves for himself.
Yes.
According to the Prophet, this saying of the Prophet is not restricted to a Muslim alone. It's all encompassing, both Muslim and non-Muslims. So we don't. There's no room for envy as a believer.
At all.
No room for hatred.
At all.
And you have to love for others what you love for yourself. And you have to celebrate others as they achieve. It doesn't decrease your own blessings in any way. And we all know that we always do what we rise when we lift others up.
True. I would like to add there. It's just like you lighting a candle. You are a candle and you light others. It doesn't mean that your own candle is going to be put off by lighting others. You have to consider others, whatever you want to do. Who are you? Will you like what they do? Whatever they do that to you, you have to consider that also. So this hadith is so important that if we think about it every day, every minute, then there won't be problem around us.
Thank you very much. I also like to chip in that this saying also emphasizes how the society should be established. It established the vision of a society based on mutual responsibility and care. And also, it is the foundation of what the Islamic faith, as I said earlier. And in addition, the Prophet also said, he does not believe whose neighbor is not safe from his abuse. That shows a lot. That by Allah, he is not a believer whose neighbor is not safe from his abuse. So, and we, as she has said earlier, the concept of a neighborhood extends so far to like your neighbors are people, like how many kilometers on your left side and right side. And in this concept of social media, the social media space, the concept of neighborhood is also evolving. Now, even people on the same platform with you, we can also call them your neighbors. So we have to be careful the way we do things, and we should also emphasize that we spread the love everywhere we are.
And that also includes their properties of your neighbors.
Yes.
They're also in your care.
Yes.
It's very important that we note that too.
And we also make sure, like our immediate neighbors, we should lay emphasis to make sure that we keep the environment safe for them and secure for them. So the saint, for the quote of today, let's take it again. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And this is the foundation of the Islamic faith.
يا
to our listeners out there, we are still on the maiden edition of Everyday Muslim on WFM 97.1 FM. The Everyday Muslim is a collaboration between WFM and Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, to promote the understanding of the values, diversity, and richness of the Islamic faith and promote peaceful coexistence towards creating what opportunities for mutual understanding towards a peaceful society. With me in the studio today is a special guest, the MPAC Executive Chairman, Mr. Kamal Diso. He is a role model in the society for the Muslims. He has been a community builder. He has a passion for touching lives, and not just touching lives, lifting others up, as we said earlier. So, welcome to Everyday Muslim on WFM 97.1, Mr. Kamal Diso, the Executive Chairman of MPAC.
Okay, thank you very much, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks so much, sir. To our listeners out there, please don't touch the dial. Stay tuned. This is going to be a revealing segment. So we are on the interview segment now for our special guest speaker, here, Mr. Kamal Diso. Sir, welcome to the program.
Yeah, welcome to the program, sir. You are somebody that a lot of people look up to, sincerely. And I'm sure that people outside there will also wish to listen to you more.
Okay.
Now, let's start by, who is Mr. Kamal Diso?
Thank you very much. And once again, it is really a pleasure for me to be here and to join the audience on the radio as well as online to share this experience with you. Rather, I would say that I look up to a lot of people as well in the society, in the community first, and in the society at large. So it's really a good thing to hear from you now that I've possibly managed to exemplify some of the best attributes I've picked up from my own role models.
Of course.
Yeah, so for people to have earned that respect from people. So, alhamdulillah, thank you very much.
So, can you tell us, what's your perspective about Everyday Muslim?
This is a simple question if you look at it from the angle of who a Muslim is, what makes somebody Muslim. In simple terms, what makes somebody Muslim is practice of religion, and the religion is Islam. So by extension, you can't actually recodify that question or express it differently to ask what is everyday Islam. So it's basically the absorption and the expression of the faith that makes you to submit to the will and the purpose of Allah, recognizing that you are here for the singular purpose of worshiping God, to submit to Him wholeheartedly, to internalize the attributes and the qualities of a true believer. So now, taking it beyond the realm of that definition of what an everyday Islam is, would mean that being an everyday Muslim would be somebody that would internalize and externalize, you know, those attributes in his everyday experience, either as an individual or while interacting with every other member in the society, whether that member belongs to his faith community or outside his faith experience. And, you know, basically that is what it is.
Okay, so that will lead me to another question. What are the qualities of an everyday Muslim? What are the qualities?
Yes, that is a little bit digging deeper. It will take us to explore the basic attributes of who a Muslim is. some of the qualities you would expect that a Muslim would display would include attributes like truthfulness. God, if you look at the Quran, God calls us to be truthful people. Even if this requires that we bear witnesses against ourselves or members of our kinship. So this is a high expectation and command from God that we are truthful people. So as Muslims, either in our homes, in our communities or in the larger society as well,
okay,
we must be people that are recognized for their truthfulness. Another thing is sincerity. In our dealings with God, we have to be sincere in our intention as well as in our deeds and actions. The purity of our intention makes our actions, our actions should flow from the purity of our intentions. So it is most important that we are sincere people. We say what we mean and we do what we say. So basically that's what it is. Unselfishness. We should be people that would be unselfish. One of the fascinating things I've seen, about the modern, society that we are all living in, is the movement towards this subconscious normalization of selfishness.
Selfishness.
Yes.
It has become an everyday thing.
Motivate each other to be selfish.
Yes, exactly. People are becoming progressively desensitized to the real essence of the horrors of regressing to or receding to our personal enclaves, and it's not just at an individual level, even at a societal level, you find a lot of things now. Even if you go to the store, there's a specific desk where for self-service. that's at times when I look at that, expression, I'm horrified by it. That you have to self-serve yourself.
Self-love. It came from self-love, the concept of self-love.
And then people do things now. In the past, people used to dress for others, to look beautiful for others, to behold. Now people dress for themselves. As long as I'm happy in what I am in, I'm comfortable in it, then it's fine. Even if it's not, something that is actually good.
Don't bother about others, don't care about what you do, not caring about yourself.
No, absolutely. It's just about self-centeredness.
So I would say that it's moving from selflessness to selfishness.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it's a kind of a regression. That's why I use the word. Rather than progression in the civilization. Then another one is humility, which we have to be humble people. If anybody is actually entitled to be arrogant, it will be the best of God's creation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was the one that was specifically commanded to humble himself until there's no more arrogance in the world. And that is quite powerful. If there are going to be people that are entitled to be arrogant, they should be the prophets who are the best of God's creation. And these are the people that have come into this world that are displayed or exemplified the best qualities of humility, of forgiveness, of patience, and all that. So I think this is the model that a lot of us as a civilization, as a society, as a community, and even at individual family level, we have moved away from that. We have abandoned that, that tradition. It is the foundational teaching of all the divine religions. The humility of the human. If you think about it carefully, and you don't have to be religious to actually be able to reflect on this. Everything you have, everything you are, that may propel you towards a sense of self-importance, alertness, or arrogance has got nothing to do with you. If you think you are beautiful, you didn't work it out. Mm-hmm. You didn't negotiate that with God before you came into this world.
It's a gift. And say,
oh, this is the way I would like to be molded. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got nothing to do with you. If you are rich in this world, you didn't come into this world with a bank account. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with your intelligence. There are people that are more intelligent than you out there in the society that are really struggling to make ends meet and all that. So everything as believers we have to see as, you know, grace from God, as gift from God, and we have to show appreciation for receiving these blessings from God.
Yes, as mercy from the Almighty.
Yes. And we have to show appreciation by extending, you know, those blessings to others that may be less privileged than us in the society. That is a fantastic way of actually saying this. Then, like I said earlier, it's about patience. God in the Quran calls us to patience.
Patience.
He calls us to forgiveness. You know, we have to, if we expect forgiveness from God, we have to be forgiving as well. We have to be forgiving.
So it can be difficult at times.
Yeah, well, of course, we have to deal with it. Yeah, it can be difficult. Nobody said it is going to be easy, but we do it because it is difficult to do. That is it. We do it because it is difficult to do. We have to be head and shoulder about the average people in our thought process, in our thinking, in the way we perceive things and act on them. Like I said earlier, honesty, purity, and cleanliness. When you want to go into Salat or any other act of worship, you have to engage in act of tahara. You know, you cleanse yourself. The physically, you have to do it in the case of Salat. In the case of your health, in the case of your wealth, you have to engage in charity, in the obligatory charity of zakat. You have to do that to cleanse your wealth of those dust of impurity that would have settled or got into it. Moderation. We are an ummah of moderation. We are not like the left or the right. We are right in the middle, at the center.
Middle course.
Yes, we take the middle course, middle position. And this doesn't mean that we compromise on principles. You know, it doesn't mean we compromise on principles, but it means that we are willing to, we don't draw a line on the ground and say on issues that are not foundational to our faith. You know, we do not say, I do not move from this position. Okay. Of course, you seek a common ground.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, God in the Quran says that He has created us in nations, in tribes, in different shades and colors, in different tongues. So we have different experiences, background, heritage, identity, and all that. And then we see things differently.
Differently,
we experience things differently. We have different history and background and all that. And if you cannot, so it is going to be difficult for you to put everybody into a single basket and then expect conformity or uniformity. It's simply impossible. You can't work it out. There's no single mathematical formula to help you arrive at this wonderful, you know, answer of getting everybody to just behave. And uniformity at times can even be mediocrity. It's as simple as that.
Yes.
Diversity is good.
Yes.
Everything in God's creation is beautified through diversity. If you think about it. So that is it.
With diversity.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Mr. Kamal. This is a well-loaded segment. I can see, you know, before you can tap from a cup, it has, you know, usually what you have in you is what you give out. So I can see why the ripple effect we feel in the society, it has to do with that which resides in you. And alhamdulillah for that, we thank God and we are happy for having you in the society. And may the Almighty Creator keep giving you the strength to keep going and keep touching lives.
Alamami, thank you very much.
Thanks so much on that attribute.
The pleasure is really mine, so don't take it away from me, please.
Thanks so much. A lovely attribute of the qualities of the everyday Muslim. So to our listeners out there, would you like to have an everyday Muslim by your side? And are you an everyday Muslim? Our phone lines are open for you to call in. The number to call is 0700-917-917. I'll repeat again, 0700-917-917. For SMS on WhatsApp, we have the number to call to chat is 0703175-6537. I repeat, 0703175-6537. We are still on the show of the Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 radio station. Like I'll say again, the Everyday Muslim is a collaboration between WFM and MPAC. So the next segment is the next question, the interview questions for Mr. Kamal Diso. We still want to find out more about what makes him so awesome. Mr. Kamal Diso, the executive chairman of MPAC, the Muslim Public Affairs Center. Tell us about MPAC and how it started.
Please don't get... please don't get me started on that.
Well, we need to know how it started.
We are going to need the whole day to actually go through the script. Exactly. Well, thank you very much. MPAC, what is now called MPAC started as a small online-based group back in 2001, immediately after the tragic event of 9/11 in America, when these terrorists ran, the planes into the Twin Tower and stuff like that.
From an online event.
It actually started on the back of that, very tragic event, because we saw this backlash against the Muslim community globally. And some of them were actually were put out at that time to exploit that unfortunate incident to demonize Islam, to attack the Muslim, to spread hate and fear about the Muslim community.
Islamophobia.
Yes, and basically this was the gestation period of the problem of Islamophobia that is now gone viral in the world today. So a number of us at that time felt we could respond to it intelligently by coming together to articulate a common position of opposition to this problem that we saw. And the first area that we focused on was this spread, almost unrestricted spread of these this message of hate, this rhetorics of hate in the media, especially including the Nigerian media at that time, print, electronic. It was basically pervasive all there. So alhamdulillah, God gave us a string of successes. So as a result of those efforts, and that this really encouraged us to feel that we needed to take things to the next level. So a couple of years later, the online group that was originally known as the Shield of Faith.
The shield of faith,
basically to protect, to shield the faith, the community. Metamorphosized into MPAC, which was incorporated with its own trustee and management, board of management. And then since then, we've run it professionally as an advocacy group.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Where's online?
My name is Nifemi. I'm calling from Agbero.
Oh, thanks so much for joining into the show, Nifemi. What do you have for our guest speaker? Or what would you like to share with us?
Yes, I'm just glad that we have a new program that can talk about the dictates of Islam, you know, the program that gives us insight, especially for Christians, because Nigeria can be a religious country and, okay, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, people don't want to relate. But it's good to actually learn about Islam and say Islam is not a religion at all.
Yes.
When I was in school, my roommate was, she's still a Muslim, I have a good relationship.
Tell me, are you a Christian or a Muslim?
I'm a Christian.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This is beautiful.
Yes, thank you for this program. Thank you so much.
We are very happy to have you on the show. Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay, thank you very much. And that is record making. I mean, the first caller on this program
is
actually
Christian.
Yes,
is the first caller and a Christian, and she has good things to say about Islam.
That is really wonderful.
Yes.
And that actually reminds me of the Christian community of Abyssinia at the time of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that hosted the Muslim community on the run at that time, fleeing the persecution in Mecca.
Mm.
And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the trust, the confidence that the Christian community of the present-day Ethiopia will be just and receptive as well. So, alhamdulillah, this sister that has just called now has actually...
she has proven that to be right.
actually brought back to life again. So, as I was saying... this is how MPAC actually came into being as a full-fledged organization. And since then, alhamdulillah, we have not looked back. We've evolved over the years. We've retooled, we've refocused, we've re-strategized, and we are making, alhamdulillah, important contributions to the society at large, as well as to our community, the community that we represent and speak for.
All right, thanks so much, sir. What are the impacts recorded so far?
MPAC has actually done a number of things. Initially, when we started, it was almost acting as a clearinghouse for all public Muslim public affairs issues. So we're doing the traditional function of advocacy, of empowerment. Then, because of the problem of Boko Haram at a point, at the inception of that problem, there were a number of people, thousands of them, literally thousands of them, displaced from their communities, especially from the epicenter of this problem and the communities around it in the north and the northeast. So we responded to this by forging collaboration with like minds, sister Muslim organizations, pulling resources together to collect, to mobilize and collect relief materials and send to the IDP camps.
Okay, relief materials.
Yes,
for IDP.
We did this. We did a number of empowerment programs for the youth. We established the master class.
Okay.
Basically because we felt the youth needed some help in the area of personal development, in the acquisition of soft skills, as well as mentoring.
Yes.
So we did a lot of work in that area as well. We also work with other organizations within Lagos State as well as outside Lagos State, especially during the time of COVID. MPAC actually move the idea of forming a coalition, a national coalition of Muslim organizations across the entire country.
Wow.
Yes. And we ended up having more than 100 Islamic organizations, most of them national organizations, to actually respond to the problem of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
then I think the legacy project of MPAC during the entire history of our establishment, our operation, is the establishment of Sakina, which was founded in 2009. Most people probably wouldn't actually know MPAC as a result of the fantastic work we have done in the area of medical outreach.
And Sakina Project.
Sakina Project.
Yes, the medical outreach.
Yes, it was started in 2009. To date, we've spent about 150 million.
Wow.
To provide free medical care to Nigerians, irrespective of fit background.
Wow.
So you have people, young, old, male, female, Muslims, Christians, even like people of no belief.
Benefiting from it.
Yes, benefiting from it. Thousands of them.
Yeah.
And it's actually grown so big now that we felt it was too big to remain a project of impact. So. During a strategy session that we had about 7 years ago, we decided to allow Sakina to step out of the mother organization, in this case, the mothership, and become an independent organization on its standalone. Yeah. So at the moment, it's actually a system functioning as a separate organization on its own. It works with many organizations within and outside Nigeria. And it's actually also recently, last year, received grants from an organization in Nigeria to progress some of the works it's doing. It is most important for me to mention at this point as well to say that because of the political nature of MPAC as an organization, and in order for us to retain editorial independence in our public and official statements on national issues or issues affecting the Muslim community, we do not seek or receive grants or any type of financial contribution from governments within Nigeria or outside of Nigeria, or organizations within Nigeria or outside of Nigeria.
Yeah.
And this is a matter of policy for us.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you so much, sir. That was a loaded one on MPAC and its impact on the society. Thanks so much, Amihala. Reward all your efforts in manifold in this life and most especially in the hereafter. All right. So, what are the aims and what do you expect to the collaboration between MPAC and WFM? Give us a brief on that.
Well, it is actually an interesting one, and first and foremost, I have to express deeply felt appreciation to the CEO of WFM, Mrs. Tom Kewale, for actually initiating this idea. It's a brilliant idea. She first moved the idea when she appeared as a guest at our last MPAC convention, and we spoke about this. I think it's a brilliant idea. Yes. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Everyday Muslim. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, my name is Chris. I'm calling from Marlborough.
Thanks so much for having you calling, Chris. Thank you.
Well, for my name, you know I'm a Christian.
Yes.
This program is good. I mean, it's good for it to really enlighten the Muslim community so that there will be harmony and peace in society.
Yes, thank you.
I just want to ask a question. I don't know if you got to see the video that has gone viral. El Rufai, you know, was on air trying to say that the Muslims have a 20-year agenda to turn the whole of Nigeria into Islam. And he said that the Muslim ticket is just one of those items on the agenda. And he spoke a lot of things that are not actually a palatable. I don't know if you have seen that video.
I haven't.
I think things like we haven't seen very good. Mm-hmm. But the video is gone viral already.
Okay.
And I think people of that stature should be careful of what they actually see so that there can be peace in this country.
Yes.
There is a lot of, you know, wounds in the hearts of people already. People are already bleeding. And all we need in this country is just for this national healing to take place. In the place where I live in Marlborough, we have a lot of Christian in my community, and we all live in harmony, no issues at all.
Yes.
I think there's a need for a lot of education to be done on radio so that our Muslim brothers will actually know that there's no need for anybody to fight. If you want to practice your religion, be free to practice your religion.
Okay.
And the Christians should also be allowed to plead their religion so that there will be peace and harmony in the country.
Okay.
But this issue of violence, of fighting people, I think it should not be encouraged at all. So this program is good. Please try and enlighten the Muslim community in such a way that there will be harmonious living, there will be peaceful living amongst ourselves. And I think the Muslims in the South are quite different from the ones in the North. The ones in the South seem to be more peaceful. I don't really understand what is happening. And then the question I want to ask is this. Why is it that this Boko Haram obviously allowed that after killing people? Are they Muslims? Are they pseudo-Muslims? Who exactly are they? Why is it that after committing this heinous crime, you still be saying Allah Akbar? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for calling in, Chris. We appreciate the feedback.
Thank you very much for calling in, Chris. Before Mr. Kamara comes in, I would just like to tell you that there is nowhere in the Quran that says that a religion is compulsory. In fact, there is a particular verse in the Holy Quran that says that there is no compulsion in religion. So you cannot force people to go into your own religion except when they will to join your religion. So I'll move to Mr. Adesu now to enlighten us more about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the caller's perspective on this very important issues. One of them definitely an issue that is ongoing at the moment regarding the viral video that you made mention of. Now, firstly, I have to say that in the country at the moment, we have to understand the environment and the context of some of the things that have been said or that people are going to say, either as community leaders, religious leaders, or even politicians. So in the specific video you made reference to, which I haven't watched and cannot comment on it in details, but I've actually read a little bit on it. If what you actually said about the video is accurate and correct, then the only thing I can say regarding that is that Mr. El-Rufai is a politician, of a political party in Nigeria that went through a very difficult period of electioneering and campaigning and suffered miserably. We are all witnesses to this as a result of politics of religion, that was forced on the entire nation by a group of people. This admission needs to be made by all of us. We need to acknowledge this. We need to acknowledge the fact that it is wrong for people to actually exploit and explore religion as well as ethnicity to progress political career.
Yes.
And this comment that was allegedly made by El-Rufai, while I cannot justify it, must be contextualized in the light of what I've said. It must have flowed from the relentless barrage of attack by other people within the society that went around spreading messages of fear as well as division on the basis of religion. We have to understand this. So if we are going to condemn a particular individual for saying certain inflammatory or divisive statement, then we have to go around the table. We have to be fair in our criticism and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what my religion commands me to do. As an organization, I will put this out openly and clearly in many of our press releases, and this remains our policy up to date. We are a non-partisan organization. We do not engage in partisan politics. We do not endorse candidates, and we do not preach politics of religion. We believe it is not for common good, and we believe it is not going to promote peace and harmony in the country, But we have to understand a lot of people actually engage in this. They use this as a currency of transaction in the hope that it was going to benefit their political ambition and career. So this is most important for us to admit and acknowledge. On the issue of Boko Haram, I think it is very important that you have mentioned this. And there are surplus information out there, especially from the Muslim community globally, as well as in this country, condemning the terrorist activities of hateful rhetoric and agenda of division and destruction of Boko Haram and similar extremists and terrorist groups operating in Nigeria as well as globally. This has got nothing to do with Islam, and if you think about it carefully, if you look at it with discerning mind and eyes, you would see that the greatest victims of the terror of such groups have always been Muslims. Because they operate in an area that is dominated by Muslims. They work the theater of operation of these terrorist groups remain the northern part of Nigeria, which we all know is predominantly a Muslim majority region of the country. So by virtue of that, the majority of their victims have remained Muslims, including Muslim scholars that have gone out boldly with courage to oppose the ideology of it, as well as the theology of it that they stand for and are promoting in the society. There's nothing in Islam, in the entire history of Islam, that teaches that anybody should shout Allahu Akbar when they want to kill or when they want to harm anybody. I'm quite glad that the quote of the day that was actually read out at the inception of this program alludes to the fact that what Islam calls to is peace, harmony, as well as love amongst people. I think it is most important for us to understand this. That is not to undermine or diminish the fact that a lot of Christians have actually suffered as a result of the terror of these extremist groups operating in Nigeria. We have to make that acknowledgement, and we have to make the acknowledgement that they have been specifically targeted because of their faith, and especially in areas where they are living as minority, and this is reprehensible. Islam opposes this, Islam denounces it, and Muslims and Christians should work together. We are more than them. My brothers and sisters listening to me out there, we are more than these terrorist groups. Whoever they are, whichever clock they put on their back, whether as a religious clock or a political clock or any other pretense they make to any appeal to attract sympathy as well as followership, we are more than them in this country. So we have to expand the space of collaboration and understanding amongst ourselves. And we don't have to point fingers. It's not going to help us or help, because as a matter of fact, we will be aligning ourselves to this terrorist when we understand Islam through the prism of the characterization that they stand for in their actions and words. So this is the comments I'm going to make regarding these questions you have asked. I appreciate the call, and I think it is most important that we continue to dialogue, we continue to talk, we continue to discuss our fears, we continue to discuss our areas of agreement and disagreement as well, with respect and with purpose as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Mr. Kamal Disu, for these eye-opening remarks and feedback to our caller. And Mr. Chris, thanks so much. You've heard from an everyday Muslim's perception. The next segment is Treasure Trove. The Treasure Trove segment is for us to discover the gems from our guest speakers. So, Mr. Kamal Diso wants you to tell us, who is your favorite role model in Islamic history?
Well, this is a difficult one for me to actually say. As a Muslim, I'm actually commanded to take or to pick my role models from the prophets, the best amongst them, the first amongst them, being Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it should be a straightforward and simple answer for me to say that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is my role model.
So what inspires you about the Prophet, peace be upon him?
Well, to be honest with you, the totality of his life, you see, what he stood for, his character, the simplicity of his life and message, have all made lasting impression on me. And I've actually seen these as models to copy and follow for myself as well as for my children as well.
All right. And your favorite verse in the Quran or Hadith, and how does it impact your everyday life as an everyday Muslim?
Well, it is impossible for me to narrow it down to a single verse, but keeping it as small as possible, let me state there are actually there are more than 6,000 verses in the Quran. So it's really difficult for me to pick one or even three. But let me just narrow it to this, you know, three for today. So hopefully if you afford me the grace to come back to feature on your program some other time, will probably be given out other ones. The first one is chapter 25 of the Holy Quran, where God says, and the slaves of the most beneficent are those who walk on the heart in humility and sedateness. And when the foolish address them with bad words, they reply back with mild words of gentleness. So that is the first one. The second one is in Suratul, I think it's Suratul Ma'idah, chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 32, where God says, whoever kills a person, it is as though he has killed all mankind. And whoever saves a life, it is as though he has saved all of mankind. You know, this is fundamental and powerful for me as an individual. And the last one is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 256, where God says, there is no compulsion where the religion is concerned. La ikra fi din. There is no compulsion in religion. This is absolute declaration of religious freedom for everyone. All mankind. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kamal Diso.
So, Rashida, I'm going to link this question with a question that was sent from Norway.
Okay.
This is from Omar from Norway. He said, I would like to ask the guests, what is his advice for Nigerians to ease the tension of Muslim tickets, and how Islam and Muslims can contribute to the success of Nigeria?
Well, Muslim, here we go again back to, you know, the issue of Muslim ticket. So yes, I think the politicians really need to fear God, and they really need to be truthful people. They really need to be faithful to their religions. Whatever, you know, religion they practice, they really need to know that in the hereafter they are going to stand before God and account for each and everything that they say. So they should not divide us with religion. They should not divide us with anything. They should focus on politics. And we know it is public knowledge how politics is practiced or supposed to be practiced. If this is done, if Nigeria works for everybody, I'm not sure people will be too bothered about what religion or what mosque or what church, you know, somebody goes to. So I think it's simply this problem of division that's, you know, been going on for too long that has resulted into that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Kamal Disu, for all the treasures we found during the Treasure Trove segment. And to our listeners out there, we thank you very much for joining us on the Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. Please keep a date with us next week as we bring in another awesome guest speaker on the Everyday Muslim show. We have to wrap up the program now. It's me, your host, Sakina Titilayo Okonu, and with me in the studio is my co-host,
I'm Rashida Adetunwa Kilani. Thank you very much.
And Rose, thank you so much for being with us in the studio. And Mr. Kamal Disu, say Jazakallahu khairan, may Allah reward you in manifold in this world and especially in the hereafter for all you do and your contribution to the society.
Thank you very much.